Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Men first set sail and journeyed over the seas, their reasons have been many and varied. For many, of course, the lure was wealth, particularly in the 16th and 17th centuries, when news of fabulous lands freshly discovered slowly reached Europe, and numerous were the tales of the gold and silver and precious jewels beyond price, just lying there, waiting for a man to stretch out his hand for them. Of course, many of the stories were complete fantasy and nothing more. But it's a true story I have for you tonight. It starts in the 17th century and concerns a man named Roberio Diaz. No relation to Bartholomew Diaz, by the way. Now, Roberio, after a great deal of trouble and what we would call red tape, was finally granted an audience with the Portuguese king Pedro II. I've called the tale The Mines of Moribica. How many more trivial affairs must I attend to? It is surely unnecessary that I should be forced to receive every supplicant and hear every petition.
Your Majesty, I do try to limit the number of those accorded the privilege of an audience.
For 2 hours, I have received an unending stream of people. 2 hours of my time wasted. How many more wait in the antechamber?
One more, Your Majesty. Only one more.
What is his name?
Roberio Diaz, Your Majesty.
Roberio Diaz. And his title?
He has no title, Your Majesty. He's a commoner.
A commoner who claims and is granted an audience with his king?
He's an unusual man, Your Majesty. By all appearance, a very wealthy man.
Wealthy? And his business here, the reason why he has been granted permission to present himself at our court?
He wishes to share his wealth with you, Your Majesty.
Indeed. You begin to arouse my interest, Manuel. You begin to arouse my interest. A beautiful subject who wishes to share his wealth with his king. Most interesting. You have our permission to usher him into our presence.
His Majesty will receive Roberio Diaz.
His Majesty will receive Roberio Diaz. Roberio Diaz.
Roberio Diaz, His Majesty will receive you. Enter.
Your Majesty.
Arise, stand before us. You have affairs you wish to discuss with us, Roberio Diaz?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Then proceed.
Your Majesty, I am a loyal Portuguese subject, but I was born in the New World. As my father before me, Melchior Diaz.
Where in the New World?
The land of Brazil, Your Majesty.
Surnamed after the redwood trees our mariners saw when they first landed, Your Majesty.
I am aware of how the land received its name. When I require your comments, I will ask for them.
Your pardon, Majesty.
Continue, Roberio Diaz. You were born in the New World, as was your father before you?
Yes, Your Majesty. My father, from an early age, did not live with the other colonists. He saved the life of one of the Indians of the country, and they therefore gave to him their trust and respect. He traveled with them through the vast forests into the interior. There he discovered great riches, gold, precious jewels and mines of silver.
Yes, we have heard many tales, and indeed have seen with our own eyes proof of the treasures which that faraway land affords.
There is no end to the treasures, Your Majesty, if one knows where to seek them.
And your father knows?
My father is no longer of this world.
Ah.
But before he departed this earth, he bequeathed to me all his riches and all his secrets.
And why did you wish to present yourself before us, Roberio Diaz, not just to recount this family history?
No, Your Majesty. I have just said that my father bequeathed to me all his riches. If I possessed only a hundredth part of what is mine, I would still be one of the wealthiest men in the world. And yet, there is something which I lack.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
I lack the background to this wealth.
Mm.
My grandfather was a simple sailor. My father, the companion of pagan Indians. I wish to make an honorable marriage, found a family. I desire that my sons will not only inherit wealth, but pride of name.
Now, there is a lady you wish to marry, and you appeal to your king to intercede for you. Persuade her father to agree to the match.
No, Your Majesty. I have not chosen a wife. My eyes have not settled on any lady. Not yet.
Then what is your petition? What favor do you ask?
I ask you to agree to an exchange. If you will give me the title of Marquis das Minas, I will give to you the silver mines of Brazil.
Hmm. You aspire to the rank of Marquis.
I possess the wealth to uphold the position.
So it would appear. But appearances are often deceptive. What guarantee have I that you speak the truth?
If Your Majesty will permit me to present my credentials...
Permission granted.
There is a chest which I left in the antechamber. If Your Majesty will give the command that it be brought here...
Manuel?
Your Majesty, bring in the chest from the antechamber.
Bring in the chest.
Your Majesty, what I am about to offer you is but a grain of sand from the desert, a droplet of water from the ocean. In one mine, only one, there can be found more silver than there is iron in Bilbao. And I offer you not one mine, but many. I do not ask the title of Marquis as a gift. I am willing to pay for it with a king's ransom.
Lay the chest at the king's feet. Go, go.
With Your Majesty's permission, I will open the chest.
You have our permission.
I present my credentials to Your Majesty. Silver from the mines which I offer you. And these jewels are a token of respect from a loyal subject.
Magnificent! Magnificent!
Your credentials are impressive. Manuel, I wish a patent to be drawn up for a marquisate.
Yes, Your Majesty.
The Marquis das Minas.
At once, Your Majesty.
Then, Your Majesty agrees.
I agree to accept your silver mines.
And you will invest me with the title of Marquis.
We will dispatch an expedition to Brazil. You will accompany this expedition. A sealed patent will be handed to the commanding officer for safekeeping until you reach your destination. When you have disclosed the location of the mines, the patent will be handed over to you.
Forgive me, Your Majesty.
What is it, Manuel? You know I hate to be disturbed when I'm eating. What is it?
The patent, Your Majesty.
Hmm?
I thought the matter was an urgent one, so I brought it to you immediately.
Patent? What patent?
The patent investing Roberio Diaz with the title of Marquis das Minas.
Ah.
Here it is, Your Majesty, for your approval.
Approval? Give it to me.
Your Majesty?
Oh. He would bargain with me, would he? Does he think he's dealing with a peasant in the marketplace?
But the silver mines, Your Majesty.
I have not forgotten. We will accept the silver mines. And to show that I'm not ungenerous, I will reward Roberio Diaz. Yes, I will present him with the reward which I think fitting.
Happy are those who can be satisfied with what they have. But very few men fall into this category, and Ruberio Diaz wasn't one of them. Although he possessed riches which were literally beyond the dreams of avarice, he still sought something more. His ambition was to have the king confer a title upon him, and so raise him to the nobility. Mind you, in the 17th century, a man's social standing was very important, and nowhere more so than in the Iberian Peninsula, for both in Spain and in Portugal there was a rigid caste system, and great pride was taken in the family name and rank. So to a certain extent, we can understand and sympathize with the ambition of Ruberio Diaz. And of course, he was offering a great deal in exchange for the realization of his dream, for the Brazilian silver mines would provide King Pedro with an unending source of wealth. But the king was not only a haughty and crafty man, he was also a greedy one. He had no intention of sticking to his part of the bargain, but he had every intention of acquiring the silver mines. And so, at his bidding, a ship set out from Portugal en route to Brazil. On board was a party of state officials, headed by Dom Francisco de Azevedo. Their purpose was to claim the silver mines for the king as soon as Ruberio Diaz disclosed their location, for of course, Ruberio too was on board.
Good morning, Don Francisco.
Oh, Senor Diaz.
You are awake early this morning? I normally take my morning promenade alone.
Yes, I did wake in early this morning. My cabin was so stuffy I came up on deck for a breath of air. We've been fortunate in our voyage so far. Fair winds and calm seas.
You tempt Providence, Don Francisco. We are still more than halfway from our journey's end.
Mm. Our journey's end. The New World and the land of Brazil. I have heard many fascinating accounts of this wondrous country. Is it true that there are great serpents there which wrap themselves round a man and crush his bones to powder?
There are such serpents, yes. The jungles are vast, and within them lie many dangers. But each country presents its own dangers, which a wise man will take pains to avoid.
You are something of a philosopher, Senor Diaz. But in the New World, you possess the advantage of knowledge and familiarity, which we, coming from the Old World, lack. Shall we encounter many hazards in our journey to the silver mines?
Very few, so long as I am your guide.
I have heard there are many savage tribes there who hunt with poisoned arrows. I trust that we shall not become their quarry.
Your safety from the Indian tribes I will guarantee. I am my father's son, and my father was revered by them. In their language, he was known as Morivica. His memory is sacred to them.
Morivica. And it was he who discovered the mine?
Yes, it was he.
So now you give them to the king. Most princely gift.
Not a gift. An exchange. The mines for the sealed patent, which is in your charge. You still have it safe?
Naturally. It was entrusted to me by the king.
Yes. I find it strange.
You find it? Your words are insulting. And when the king's commission has been complete, I shall demand that
you... No. 1,000 pardons, Don Francisco, if I misled you. My words were not intended for you, no. My mind leapt and followed its own train of thought. I do not find it strange that you were entrusted with a patent. I find it strange that the king mistrusts me. And yet I brought him gifts as proof of my honesty. It strikes me now that he has given me no proof of his...
You doubt the king's word? You speak treason.
No, I do not speak treason. I am not doubting the king's word, but I am trying to remember exactly the words spoken by the king.
Your meaning is obscure, Senor Diaz.
The same might be said of the king's intentions. Why should he command that the patent be withheld from me?
It is neither my business nor my place to question the orders of the king.
We are already on our way to Brazil. What harm could there be in giving me the patent now?
The king commanded otherwise.
Yes, and I ask myself, why?
Surely the answer to your question is obvious. to make certain that you keep your side of the agreement, the patent will only be handed over when you have disclosed to us the whereabouts of the silver mines.
There is no danger of my failing to do that. After all, it was I who approached the king. I who offered him the mines.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Don Francisco, a few minutes ago, you bridled at an imaginary insult. But in truth, it is I who am being insulted. While you withhold the patent, you are implying that I am untrustworthy, that I shall fail to keep the agreement which I have made.
The decision is not mine to make. I am bound by the king's command.
Then it is the king who insults me. And now I begin to ask myself, since the king does not trust me, what reason should I have to trust him? If he's expecting treachery from me, what treachery has he planned in return?
You are speaking of the king.
Yes, I am speaking of His Majesty, King Pedro.
You would dare question the king's honor?
Would you dare to put it to the test? Well, Don Francisco, would you?
I do not understand you.
It is quite simple. You have your orders, which you cannot disobey. I do not ask you to disobey. I merely ask you to break the seal on the patent and show me the contents. I will then know if the king has kept faith with me.
It is not for a humble subject to put the king's honor to the test, Señor Diaz.
Ah, then you fear the result. You are uncertain of the outcome. Hmm? Interesting. And you are accusing me of disloyalty, Don Francisco.
The patent is in my cabin. If you will follow me, Señor Diaz.
And I will fetch the patents. It is in this box for safekeeping. The patent with the seal intact.
Thank you, Don Francisco. No Marquis das Minas, but the captain in the army. Now I know why the king mistrusted me. He judged me by himself. He had no intention of keeping his word, and so he could not trust me to keep mine. But his treachery, his dishonesty has been discovered in time. Take back the king's patent, Don Francisco. It is of no further interest to me.
I do not understand your rage, Señor Diaz. On you, the king has been gracious enough to bestow a captaincy in the army. You may think yourself fortunate to be the recipient of this favor.
Fortunate? To be treated with contempt? It would have been less insulting if that patent had been left blank, or if no patent had been issued at all. But no, that would have proclaimed him as the thief he is.
Watch your tongue, Señor Diaz. I warned you before, your disrespect to the king is treason.
Your pardon, Don Francisco. Forgive me. I am a loyal subject, albeit a lowly one. This singular honor which the king would confer on me quite overwhelmed me. But now I am myself again. And so I say to you that humble as I am unworthy of such a high position. So the king may retain his captaincy, and I will retain my silver mines.
What?
That is my message to King Pedro.
You have had your say, Señor Diaz. And now you will listen to me. I am in command of this expedition. And as I obey the king's orders, you will obey mine. My orders are to claim the silver mines in the name of the king, and you will lead me to
them. I will never disclose the location of the mines to you. Never.
We shall see, Señor Diaz. We shall see. We have still a distance to travel before we reach our destination. You will spend the remainder of the voyage below in irons, with sufficient time and solitude for reflection. I think you will change your mind.
So Roberio Diaz spent the rest of the voyage in irons. But no amount of solitude and reflection changed his mind. He was obdurate, and when the ship landed at Brazil, he still would not budge an inch. Don Francisco ranted and raved and threatened all sorts of dire punishments, but Roberio remained as firm as a rock. And as silent. All Don Francisco could do was throw him into prison, which he did. But that, of course, was no help in finding the location of the mines. History does not record what happened to Don Francisco,
but it's probable that he himself suffered some punishment for allowing Roberto Diaz to see the patent and discover the king's deceit. What we do know is that when King Pedro heard how matters stood, he was rather annoyed.
It is insufferable, insufferable. The mines are there. We know they are there. Roberto Diaz must be made to speak.
They have tried everything, Your Majesty, but his lips remain sealed.
He will rot in prison for the rest of his life. Read me the rest of the report, Manuel.
Having failed, therefore, to persuade the prisoner, we thought to obtain the information from another source.
Huh?
Melchior Diaz, deceased father of the prisoner, was known to the Brazilian Indians as Muribeca. They revere his name and memory, and indeed refer to the silver mines as Muribeca's mines. We therefore managed to take prisoner several Indians known to be acquainted with Roberto Diaz.
Good, good.
There is no doubt that they possess the knowledge which we seek. That is, the location of the mines.
Yes, yes.
But even under extreme torture, they refused to divulge the secret. Their reverence for the dead Muribeca was stronger than the fear of pain and death. We are at a loss how to proceed with this matter.
Bungling incompetence, ungained of wealth, there for the taking, and they cannot find the road to it.
Your Majesty.
Well?
If Your Majesty will permit, a thought has occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
If Roberto Diaz were released from prison, is there not a chance that he might unknowingly lead us to the mine?
Let me think. Yes, perhaps. If he were watched and followed, yes, there is a possibility that he might show us the way.
Shall I have an order drawn up for his release?
Yes, Manuel. Yes, have the order drawn up. Word it that Roberto Diaz, if he be so minded, may buy his freedom with a ransom of 9,000 crowns.
Aye, King Pedro was greedy to the last, for of course Roberto Diaz paid the ransom. By that time he'd spent 2 years in prison and was more than willing to pay the 9,000 crowns demanded. But that was all King Pedro got, for Roberto did not divulge the location of the silver mines, and when he died, the chance of discovering the secret died with him. For the Indians would never breathe a word of it, and gradually, as the generations passed away, the secret was lost completely, and all that was left was the legend of Muribeca's mines. But it was and remains today a living legend. Through the centuries, right up to our own days, men have braved the South American jungles in an effort to discover the fabulous treasure. And who knows? One of these days, the silver mines lost by King Pedro's greed and deceit might be found again. But that would be another story.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.